Today's Wednesday, my dudes.
Welcome back, guys. And on this episode of the podcast, we are reviewing a book called Kaya by Image Comics. As usual, Sam, I want to know what you thought. Like, stop sending me books.
No, pretty much anytime you send me an Image book, I'm going to be excited. I think we're, you know, whatever number we've reviewed, we're also that number for wins. I don't remember a single Image new book like this or high fantasy book or anything that you've sent me that I just absolutely hated. So I was excited to open it up and see what was inside.
Yeah. So as I mentioned, we are reviewing Kaya. Story, art, all done by Wes Craig. I love that. Obviously, there was an illustrator, there was a letterer, but when someone can come through and just do it all themselves, I think that takes a lot of work. And so there's like an extra little bit of appreciation for it. You get some bonus points on your toast. Mm-hmm. Kaya, issue number one, story, as I mentioned, by Wes Craig. A jam-packed series premiere with 31 gorgeous story pages plus bonus material and a cover by Deadly Class co-creator Wes Craig. After the destruction of their village, a young girl with a magic arm and a fighting spirit is tasked with delivering her little brother to a faraway safe haven. There, he is destined to discover the secret to overthrowing the all-powerful empire that destroyed their home. As I mentioned, from writer and artist Wes Craig comes the astonishing new ongoing fantasy adventure series about siblings surviving in a world of monsters and mutants. Let's talk about it, man. What were your favorite things about the book, issue number one? I will say before we jump into it, that when you're sorry.
What are your favorite things? I'm going to say this.
I forgot to mention that if you were someone that read this issue to issue in the collected edition that Simon and I got, they add a prologue. So there was no prologue in the regular issues. Yeah. So there was a little bit of mystery on what happened to them. So I don't know if you want to talk about the prologue first and then talk about what you thought about issue number one, but take it away.
Huh. No? Well, actually, okay, yeah, it adds a little bit, I guess. It's kind of interesting. I can't imagine the prologue not being part of the story.
Yeah.
Because it really sets up a lot of what world we're in, what's going on, how they're trying to survive. I mean, goose, man. Everybody should read the prologue.
Yeah, for sure. I highly recommend it, too.
Man, I cannot imagine. That being said, I think with the prologue, if you're starting with chapter one, like the prologue, they seem to have a better relationship, the brother and sister, seem to have a better relationship than they do in the first pages of the prologue. Because I remember thinking, yeah, like, this Prince character, fuck this kid, like, he's the worst.
Yeah, and if you look at the first page of chapter one, or when they first show her, they even have her arm covered up. Like, they do like a big reveal. Mm-hmm. So that's just what I was thinking. I was like, I don't remember reading the prologue whenever I read the first issue back when it first came out, but it seems like it fits perfectly in there. So I'm with you though. Like it fleshes out that kid so much more because he's just terrible.
Yeah, he sucks. And I understand that he was a prince, but I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. It's really weird. I can't imagine. I kind of didn't even read that it was a prologue. In my head, it was like, oh, this is all chapter one.
Yeah, really long-ass chapter. What's interesting to me is that they have this relationship where it's his half-sister. Mm-hmm. He's the prince, and she's not royal at all. So then they never really talk about that.
She's a snore.
Yeah, they never really talk about that. I was like, that's kind of disappointing. I was hoping that came up at some point.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want to talk about it too much. What do you think about this world that they're in and sort of the style?
It's cool. It reminds me a lot of Adventure Time, just kind of randomness and post-apocalyptic, but not the normal, like, Mad Max post-apocalyptic or anything of Fallout, anything like that. Like, this is a fantasy post-apocalypse.
Yeah.
I guess you would say. Because there's not a whole lot of clues, but, you know, their civilization is dead. But I don't know.
Yeah, it's like like you said, fantasy apocalypse.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like there's a lot of modern stuff. In my mind, I always end up headcanon for shit like this, is that there was like, this is like us in the future. Like, everything went to hell. Now there's like giant lizards. And like, it's a million, it's so far in the future that like, you wouldn't see a skyscraper. You wouldn't see any of that shit.
Yeah, there'd be no record of like this life that we live right now.
Yeah, it's like Waterworld, you know?
I love them.
Paper. Look what I found. I got some paper.
We get introduced to these lizard people. I really like that they're not humans essentially anywhere.
Yeah.
Except for her. Because even the brother is like, I don't know, a demon Caillou.
I don't know. He looks like one of the dogs from Target. He's got a spot over his eye.
Yeah, but the rest of the people are some sort of amphibian or really just amphibians.
Yeah, fishish people. I couldn't really tell later in the book if they were supposed to be lizard or fish.
Yeah.
Fish or chicken.
We get this big reveal for her arm, and I think it looks cool.
It does look cool.
I'm a sucker. Very kind of Jack Kirby meets Adventure Time.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was kind of honorable, because there's a point where he's talking about trading the scrolls of the history of their people or her knife to hunt.
Yeah.
And, you know, he explains why it's so important to have those history scrolls versus her knife. Well, you can't catch anything anyway, whatever. And eventually it kind of shows, it almost seems like he's going to give it up.
The knife, right?
Yeah. It seems like he's going to give up the knife, but then you find out later that he gives up the scrolls to have a piece of whatever they're eating. Those guys
man. Yeah, all the lizard people are terrible except for that freaking handsome one. I would imagine he's handsome. He's got flowy hair, flowy blonde hair.
He definitely swings it over his shoulder. I got kind of confused as far as the lizards, because there's like the real shithead one. That looks like, I forgot the name of the guy. I was thinking about it all day. He looks like the guy from Doug, like the bully from Doug.
Oh, yeah, Roger.
Yeah, he looks like Roger Klotz. But there's another one that looks a lot like him.
But it has like higher spikes or like longer spikes, right?
Yeah, no leather.
Yeah, that was the same way.
So that kind of confused me, because I can't remember who was the real dick to the kid. Was it, I can't remember if it was Roger or Roger Klotz or the other guy. I think it's the other guy.
We get dropped into this world, too. So there's not a lot of explanation on everything that's going on. We know that the main character's village got destroyed and that she has to take her brother to be protected. That's really all we know. We know that there's like this robot overlords.
Yeah.
But we never really get a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
There's sort of a background presence that everyone's terrified of.
Yeah, and I don't think, if you didn't get the prologue, I don't think they really discuss the, like, where he's going, which is to learn from some monk to have magic powers.
Yeah, the Green Man, or something, whatever they call him.
Like from Always Sunny, the Green Man.
That's chapter one, man. Take it away with chapter two.
Kaya number two, jam-packed second issue with 28 gorgeous story pages. Kaya has formed an uneasy alliance with the Lizard Riders, but will a flash flood and a dangerous hunt for food with treacherous Zothan push Kaya past her breaking point?
Zothan.
I imagine he talks like Starscream.
Yeah.
That's how I read it. You talked about being confused with all the lizard people. This whole situation with them being in the water, I was like, I don't know who's who.
Yeah, there's extras here. Well, they also ride, they're lizards and they ride lizards.
Yeah, it would be like if we rode giant humans around instead of cars.
Yeah, it is kind of confusing because I thought they were called lizard riders because they rode lizards, but are they lizard riders because they're riders who are lizards?
Yeah, it works both ways. Onomatopoeias there, whatever it is.
I'm a gonna pee ya. Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, so our character Kaya is showing her worth in these moments. She's stubborn, but you know, in this, they were like, fuck it, that lizard, just let it die. And she said no, and she saves it, but then she's like, this is mine now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You go buy your own lizard.
Which I really like, all those interactions with Zothon, because...
Oh, yeah, I didn't even realize. By your own lizard law, she's mine now. That's funny.
Yeah, because this guy, I think we discussed, I think it's in the last issue, but he's like supposed to be, he's next in line for the throne, or whatever throne that is.
Lizard
and
King.
So, yeah, the lizard king, like Mark Zuckerberg. Anyway, so...
Sweet baby rays.
Sweet baby rays. We're smoking meats. Which is what they're doing on this page. But, you know, he's relying on blood rather than actions to get loyalty.
Yeah, he's like that shitty royal kid. He's like Joffrey in Game of Thrones. It just sucks.
Yeah, just not fun.
No. And then it was weird to see like the love connection develop between Seth, who is the... Seth, what a lame lizard name.
Seth, yeah.
Seth and our main character. I can't even remember her name. I imagine it's Kaya.
The human's name is Kaya.
Yeah. They have like this...
Canoe? Kaya?
They have sort of this like love moment that gets broken up by Roger Zothan.
Do you think he has a cloaca like lizards do? Like it's just a hole that something comes out of?
Yeah, I do. And their arm opens up.
Yeah.
Gross. But yeah, they're on the hunt, which is the three of them. The handsome lizard, Seth, Zothan, and Kaya. I love the way he's illustrated. I love that he wears a leather jacket. I think it's stupid, but I think it's freaking great, man.
Oh, it's perfect. It's so stereotypical, but it's really great. He's really pointy too. He's kind of like a caiman, whereas Seth is more stubby, like a cartoony dinosaur.
Mm-hmm.
High yellow.
or as cool as this arm is, and as many cool scenes as it has, it doesn't really do anything but alert people that she's pissed off about something.
Yeah, she seems to be holding back a lot.
Yeah. Anytime she gets angry, it activates.
Yeah. There's one part later where she's talking about how magic isn't real, and he's like, but your arm. She's like, it's magic.
I don't know what this thing is.
Yeah, I have no idea how this works. It's like, what? That's what magic is, not understanding.
Yeah. I do like some of the word bubbles they use. They have like a, instead of the angled outlet, it's just like,
yeah, I like the square. Yeah,
I thought that was cool. And then most of the lizards talk are like slithery, so you know they have
they're sneaky like lizards.
This issue's cool, man. It's just really about building or explaining more about these characters and how Zothan's a coward, Kaya's a badass, and Seth the nice guy.
There's this one-arm vulture that we're seeing a lot that I didn't realize the significance of until the end.
Yeah. Yeah, he was in the first issue and in this issue.
But yeah, like you said, we're seeing a lot of cowardice from Zothan. For all the shit that he says, that he brings up, he's just, he keeps getting like embarrassed.
She's a bitch, because there's a scene where Kaya kills the boar for them to have food, wins a bet that they make, and then he even begs her to let him claim it, which is like bonus points for her character, as far as like character of the character, and then makes his character look even weaker. Cause she's like, I don't give a shit about that as long as you, I get my cut of the, you know, the main hunt. Cause they're going to hunt down this nightmare creature from a neighboring village, essentially.
Right.
And they only, it's like, you know, the hero's journey, an obstacle comes up in the middle of her main journey that she has to stop and do. And so that's cool. She's great. He sucks. There's obviously a mutual relation of feelings from Kaya and Seth. It's not just like his weird lizard love.
Lizard love. Now, this is when we learn about his secrets, too.
Yeah, yeah. He is betrothed.
Betrothed.
I love it. And that's one of the things that I love about Adventure Time specifically is the background, the world in the background that doesn't get acknowledged.
Mm-hmm.
And the story behind, like, the zaniness and the kiddiness that people see, the rich lore of Adventure Time is what pulls me to that show. And this kind of has the same thing in the background, like things that you never get an answer on, like what that is.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, totally. There's a splash page in here that shows, like, kind of the whole world in their view, and it looks, it's really pretty. Everything in this with the coloring is very, it's like gouache and like watercolor painterly, and man, it's so nice. It's so nice. One of my favorite parts of this book. But overall, I love that the, one thing I haven't mentioned, but I love that none of the panels are boxed in.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
There's something about that makes it look really smooth to me. It's a pretty book.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
So far, I'm really digging it. There's some really great art. Every panel is not just feeding into the next one, but it really is its own thing. Like, it could be its own thing. It's very pretty. A lot of great onomatopoeias. I know you love them.
And as we go on through reading and reviewing as many books as we have, I'm really starting to see, like, the style of comic book art that I am becoming more fond of. It's like less traditional comic book art, less by the book, sort of like straight lines. Everything has to be perfect. Everything has to be symmetrical, and more of a stylized approach. Mm-hmm. I just like it way more, man.
Yeah, that was something I really liked about the last book that we read, is that it was a mainstream comic book, but they were allowed to do their own thing. And it's nice to see beyond these indie books that Image Publishing or indie books in general, it's nice to see that people are allowed to kind of experiment.
Yeah, I dig it. Kaya, issue number 3, or chapter number 3, if you were following along in the trade. To help a defenseless farmer and his family, Kaya and the Lizard Riders hunt the most fearsome beast on the plains, and not all of them will survive. All those dead cows, man.
Yeah, it's one of the most fucked up things, and I think that's really why people don't like Zothar. I mean, he's shisty and shifty.
Yeah.
But he's, the guy loses all his cows, and he's like, okay, well, if you want us to save your farm, which is like all his cows, which are already dead, we're going to have that last cow. And he's not talking about like Kaya. So Kaya defends that decision, says like, yeah, we'll need it. She's obviously, they kind of plan out this ruse to get this guy, but he's talking about like eating it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so it did a really good job of making him look like a bad guy. Like, the rest of the lizards don't necessarily look good or evil, but he looks like a bad guy.
Well, and he's also convincing them, like, once we get to this place, we're going to raid it, right? That's what we've always done, despite what the queen says.
Yeah, yeah.
And most of his other people are, I don't know.
They're like, we're loyal to you, but why? Why are we doing that?
Yeah, by blood alone. Yep.
Also, the little brother has been meditating nonstop to try to commune with the gods to gain his power. He's like, I'm going to turn into a dragon or a lion or something. Trust me, I'm the golden child.
Yeah, but not like the Eddie Murphy movie.
Yeah, the best movie of all time. He also knows about Seth's arranged marriage, and he's like pressuring him to say something because he doesn't want to feel guilty about knowing it either.
Can you imagine being that cow?
No.
Chained to a, like something is coming to kill you.
I like how he dug a moat around it, but what's the point of that?
Well, I think that's so in the prologue, it's all about like they talk about hunting, and they're like, there's a moment there when you're hungry, you will often strike before the moment is right because you're hungry, right? And they kind of bring it up in this, like they have this moat and he's coming to get this oxen, and Zothar gets greedy and throws the spear too early to hurt this, whatever it's called. So I'm assuming that the moat would have come into play, but it just didn't because, you know, whatever.
Yeah, yeah. The thing looks wild, too.
But I'm glad because I would have felt really bad for them. The cow, like, freaking out.
Yeah.
Yeah, this thing's really interesting. They track it back to its lair. It's crazy how it starts, like, catching people because it's just, like, it has these interconnected tunnels.
These are some great splash pages.
Yeah. This is where we really start to see Zothar. It's so sad. I can't remember names from, like, one panel to the next. But Zothar being a coward. Like we already know, but these are the moments where it's readily apparent.
Yeah, and I had to go back because I read it incorrectly the first time. So one of the characters, spoiler alert, I know we've been kind of lightly spoiling a little bit of it, but Muska was Zothan's like right-hand man.
Yeah.
He's honor-bound to his family. So Zothan gets sliced, but then Muska saves him, right?
Yeah, Zothan gets sliced.
Mm-hmm.
The thing just comes out, catches him off guard, says I'm bleeding, and then he comes out of another hole, and what'd you say? Muska comes out and stops him from getting clawed, but then gets like gathered up and taken somewhere.
And so we see Zothan running into one of the holes, and I think, oh, he's going to go try to save him. This is his moment where he actually becomes a hero. But no, he runs away and is terrified.
Yeah, he runs out of the caves back where they came from.
Yeah, leaving everyone else to fight this thing, which is, it's great. These pages, the action is like really, really fast to follow, you know what I mean? And long story short, they win. They get beat up. We finally get to see the fist do some action.
Mm. That's what I came here for.
We finally get to see the fisting. And that's essentially issue 3. Again, it's more building up on who are the heroes of this story and why the antagonist sucks so bad.
Yeah.
He's not even really an antagonist. He's just a side character that sucks.
He's like an old school elitist. So for whatever kingdom that he belongs to, I can't remember. He's like, no, we need to go back to the old ways.
Yeah.
Where we owned slaves and we traded slaves and we sacked villages and all that kind of stuff. So.
Yeah. So that's issue 3. Simon, take it away. Issue number 4.
Kaya number 4. As they near their destination, Kaya's brother Jin attempts to use magic to help his wounded sister and the lizard rider Seth admit his feelings for Kaya. But does she feel the same? Meanwhile, unexpected threats are converging around our battered adventurers.
There's a double page spread in here that the way we were sent the book, I think it loses what it could have been, which kind of sucks.
Yeah, I had to go back and try to understand what the fuck that was.
If you put it together in your head, I don't know if you can do it sideways. I don't know if that affects it at all. No. You can tell that it was. It's a pretty spread.
Pretty spread, just like my concho.
The feelings are mutual, though. Spoiler alert, because she asked Seth to leave with them, but then he finally has to tell her he's getting married.
Mm-hmm.
These are great, great scenes, man. This book continues to be a good-looking book.
Yeah. Yeah, I really like the texture that they add with the Blizzard folks and stuff like that. We get this section where Jen essentially prays to the gods. He finally becomes less selfish about his powers. In this whole thing, he's like, give me these powers to save my village, my culture, whatever. And this, he's like, I don't want any of this stuff. I just want you to save my sister.
Yeah.
And something happens. We get this splash page, as like said, with some kind of something, ethereal something.
Yeah.
But then we see like the guy with the potions in the background. So I don't really know what that all means.
Yeah, me either. Maybe he noticed it happening. I don't know.
All right.
Because she gets healed up and she's talking to that prophet healer, whatever, and she's like, he thinks that he made the god save me. And he's like, perhaps they did. Maybe they did. You don't know.
Yeah, it's kind of like that, which I've always disliked. No matter what your political affiliation is, I think you should give people credit for their own knowledge. And it's like a cardiologist giving someone a pacemaker. It's like, I just want to thank God for giving that cardiologist the knowledge. It's like, man, he worked really hard for that.
Yeah, right.
That God just gave him all that knowledge today. No. So anyway, yeah, it's just, it's kind of a funny, it's a parallel to that. He's like, hey, I healed her.
Yeah.
Well, really, I gave her potions, but I won't tell you that. You need this. Yeah.
But, you know, you don't know. What if she was dying? What if none of this stuff was working? There was not a lot of context in the heat.
That's true. That's true.
I don't know. I'm a believer, man.
Yeah, potions could have been water. But don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, he's the whole time, I don't know. None of this stuff really works. Usually I just make people feel good until they die, man. These are opioids.
So, yeah. So to get a little serious, we get Muska's body is burned, which I'm sure smelled great. Everybody
smell like chicken.
Everybody kind of moves over to Seth's side. Isn't it funny they all have these interesting names except for him and Seth?
Seth.
It's Seth, bro. But that everybody that's on Zothan has kind of seen him for what he is. And so they don't really pay him no mind.
Yeah, they switched allegiance. It's kind of sad to see him, honestly, even though he sucks.
Mm-hmm. And then we get this, I don't know. I was so confused by what this was supposed to be.
Yeah, and herein lies one of my only complaints of this book is that, and we've said it a zillion times, when you write a trade or you're writing a long ongoing, and this obviously feels like a longer ongoing. And I know that it is continued after this, but these are things that get introduced in issue 4 and yes, this crow character was in all the issues, but there's such a deeper story that we're getting right at the end of this first volume. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I really don't know. Because I remember reading that and be like, what is this? What are we talking about?
Yeah. Very well. They're like, they be close while Uncle. And it's all these random people that we've never seen before talking.
Mm-hmm.
They belch a lot. I don't know.
Yeah.
And they all want the golden boy.
Who doesn't want the golden boy?
But at the end of the issue, they make it to this kingdom that they thought that they were trying to go to the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
Guy's looking scary.
Yeah, she looks cool. Kaya, issue number 5, end of story arc. An unexpected wedding takes place when our adventurers reach their destination, and secrets between Kaya and her brother Jin threaten to tear them apart just as a monstrous new threat attacks.
One last thing, sorry, for the last issue. I thought it was cool that I always think this is funny when this happens in any movie where there's archers on a wall and one of them accidentally shoots and it's like, oh, good thing that that person was fast enough to stop that or they would have been dead.
Yeah.
On accident. But Kaya kind of shows her worth. She's like, fuck you. And breaks an arrow in mid-flight. That was cool.
Yeah, she has that. It looks very Jack Kirby. It's like, but it's not Kirby dots, but it's reminiscent of something Jack Kirby would do.
Reminiscent of the Kirby crackle.
Yeah. What'd you think about the final issue?
Final issue is like episode 1, a lot of politics. But there's some interesting things in here. He was kind of confusing because the guy with the oxen looked more like a fish to me. And, you know, you kind of said like, earlier, it's a mix between our lizard guys, our lizard riders, our lizards, and then these people are more like amphibians, like axolotls or something like that. That's what I see, I guess. I was trying to figure out what they were, because like the brother of the bride, he's wearing a seashell, but is he some kind of amphibian, or is he supposed to be like a fish? I don't know.
Yeah, and why are they all like that? There's no wolf people. There's no,
it's the ocean's rise, man.
It's all slimy creatures.
When you obliterate the ice caps.
It's true. That's what's happening. Al Gore warned us, man.
This is a very inconvenient tree.
Poor Zothan in this issue. Very interesting arc for him.
Yeah, kind of out of nowhere, but it's cool. I mean, sure.
Is he about to enter his Vegeta era where he becomes the hero?
I guess so.
Maybe. Or he becomes still crappy, or he continues to be crappy, because even Kaya says, you can't shake crappy insides.
Yeah. Well, basically, she's like, he just shed his skin. He didn't change his personality, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, Kaya's not always right.
That's true.
I've always been one of those people that says, like, people don't change, but I know plenty of people that change. I know plenty of people that I've hated for years, and then I meet them again, you know, 10 years later, I'm like, oh, maybe I was the dick. Not really, but it's like, because I'm not a dick. People, I'm just not.
Everybody likes me.
Yeah, everybody likes me, but it really is like, oh, man. I've even got apologies like, sorry, I was such an asshole in whenever, high school, college, whatever. It's like, damn, man, you're all right in my book. So, yeah, maybe Zothan does change.
Zothan dies.
Yeah, Zothan is no more.
Gasp.
Zothan.
Spoiler alert. Zothan, he takes the name of Muska, which is weird, but even the prophet or whatever this guy is, he says, you are reborn, you will take care of Muska's sick mother, his family, all of his responsibilities. And Zothan doesn't acknowledge that. He just says Zothan is gone. Like, that's what he cares about. I feel like it's more of the image now.
Mm-hmm.
So now he's going to use the name and the notoriety that Muska had as sort of like, oh, that's who I am.
Yeah, maybe. But I'm hoping it is a redemption arc.
Yeah. Same.
For him. Because he gets embarrassed pretty bad.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that it changes his attitude.
I don't get why Kaya gets so mad at Jin for not telling her about it. He's like, he's a little boy. And he explains it pretty well. I'm like, he explains it pretty well, and he says, Seth told me not to tell you because we were about to face this monster. I've only been a free person out of being a prince for a short amount of time. I'm just trying to figure it out. I'm 11.
That's what's weird is she's annoyed. She just really wants him to stop talking. You know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
She tells him from there, just spit it out. Just say it. But, you know, she's annoyed, obviously. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't... I don't know. She's just, like, pissed off that he's talking to her or something.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I can see that. Seth's new wife is a C word.
Well, she... she's definitely... Yeah, she's definitely, like... You know, earlier, we get him dancing and having fun.
And he likes to hunt. The whole start of that side mission was, we'll be legends if we hunt down this thing together. And here she is saying, like, no, we're not doing that. We live in paradise.
You're going to work on my dad's boat.
Yeah.
Can you imagine, dude? Ugh.
She says, I was promised a loving and obedient husband. And he says, obedient? What? I'm out of here.
Yeah, like, what? What? Like, that would be my response, too. It's like, yeah, I mean, together we'll be obedient to one another.
Yeah.
You saying I'm just supposed to be obedient to you, bitch?
And this is the magic thing that you referenced earlier, where she kind of goes off, and she's emotional still. Her lizard love just got married.
She ain't getting no more of that cloaca love.
Oh, yeah. Apparently she really, really lays into Jen and says, you're not magic. Magic isn't real. Except don't ask about my arm.
Yeah.
Doesn't count.
That's not real.
And meanwhile, in all of this, Seth comes up and he says, this was a mistake. I can't marry the princess.
Yeah, I can't do it, bro.
I don't know. It ends on a cliffhanger, and I absolutely hate cliffhangers.
Well,
especially when they're big cliffhangers.
Right. It brings in this, you know, kind of what we were talking about, like these characters that we don't really know at all. And all of a sudden they're like, oh, here they are. And it's going to make moves, kidnapping the prince.
We got him. We're out. And that's it. Back to the Poison Lands. And I guess the next story arc is the Poison Lands.
Which I can respect that, but I don't know.
Yeah. I was just into the story, and then we got these new characters, and now we don't know.
Gotcha.
I'm with you, though. I hope that Zothan is going to go with them and try to help them.
Yeah.
I hope. Even Roger has good episodes where he does nice things. Roger Klotz, man. You say it's like Rush.
It's been forever. Since I've watched Doug. He's always bad, man.
Yeah, that's true. He's rich. What'd you think overall, man? That's it.
Well, the artwork's to die for, first of all. It's so good. The story I really liked, but there is some offbeat stuff. This, in my mind, if they had cut a few things out, this could have been like a, I don't know. What am I trying to say? Like the first trade is really well done in that it tells an almost complete story,
mm-hmm.
but leaves hints for the wider world. But I feel like there are a few missteps as far as like who these characters are that kidnap him at the end. Like they kind of shoehorn them in halfway through, like, oh, there's bad guys. We don't know anything about them.
He should have just ran away and then she not know where he's at.
Yeah. I mean, I could see that. And even if he is kidnapped, yeah, even if he, maybe he's not kidnapped by these guys so outrightly. Maybe he runs away, he's sitting on the edge of the cliff or whatever, and you see a tentacle wrap around him and steal him, and that's the cliffhanger.
Yeah. A little bit more subtle.
Yeah. And even like the marriage thing, you know, it could have been, I don't know. I don't mind that so much, but this... I don't dig, because it just feels out of place. Like the only reason I know what these guys are because of issue 4, at the end of issue 4, like you said. And even that's like, I don't know who these guys are. So,
yeah. What do you think about all of the main characters and sort of their motivations with the story?
It feels really complicated. I mean, it's great. It doesn't feel one note. Like everybody's got their own motives.
I agree. And as we mentioned numerous times, there's multiple layers that we don't even know about. You know, we have this story between this seemingly bastard child protecting her royalty brother. We have no idea about that whole story.
Right.
And then Seth and her have a background from when they were younger. It's just multiple layers. The Zothan and the becoming the king, but Seth's aunt being the queen right now. There's just so many different things that are just going on in the background.
Well, one thing we don't mention is that a lot of time Jen is like, I'm a prince. It's like, of what?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, that's a really important thing. It's like he feels heightened because he's a prince, but they don't have land anymore. Like, he's not a prince of anything.
Yeah, it all got destroyed. And yeah, to talk about the art, it really, the overall aesthetic of this book was beautiful, man.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it a lot. Very stylized, and I couldn't get enough of it. I really want to continue it. I'm annoyed. It's one of those things where you get really into it and then something crazy happens and then it's over. It's not like a bad annoyed. It's just like, oh.
Right. Yeah. It's like, yeah, this, I would have loved to have gotten it all just because of the way I read comics. I would have loved to have gotten it all now.
Yeah. Yeah. Give it all to me now. Let's grade this thing. Grading this thing. If you need to grade along with us, you join our Discord, go to the FAQ section and scroll up.
Scroll up there. It's going to say F you. Get a job.
You want to do the honors? You want me to do the honors? I don't remember who went last time.
You never go first, so you can go first.
Ooh, yeah. Okay. I want to give this one. It's hard to like not do the same thing over, you know, so I try to switch it up every now and then. I'm going to give this one an H2.
Nice.
I like it a lot. Some could argue if you don't eat it instantly, it would become rubbery. I could do without. The ending could be a little bit more subtle for me as someone that likes to have volumes be sort of a complete story.
Yeah. I see that.
But that's just like a personal thing.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, along those lines, I'll give mine an I2, and it's kind of the same way.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's so perfect in so many ways, but the weird shoehorned, like, oh, we need to make a second volume of this.
And we need people to have to pick it up.
Yeah. And again, there could have been an interesting There could have been an interesting way to do that. Like, leave it a cliffhanger. Like, we don't know anything about these people. We see the bird, and then the next couple of issues, we're like, oh, here's the bird again. And, okay, mm-hmm. maybe that connects. Or, I don't know. I don't know how you do it. I'm not a comic book writer.
Yeah. And I don't even think that Simon and I are saying that it was done wrong. I think we're just saying, I don't know. I think it's fine how it was done. But for me personally, a little bit more of the subtlety. I didn't need all those characters. Like, when we saw those characters in issue 4, it was out of left field for me. And I don't know how you introduced them. I think that should be the first issue of the next story arc, is a background on those characters. Do that in the prologue. And then you flash to what we got on the last page, where they came and kidnapped Jen. And that's how the next big story arc starts.
Yeah.
But as Simon mentioned, we're not comic book writers. We have no idea what we're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, just suggestions. Slight nudges.
Yeah. Simon, where can the people find you, my man?
2 hours north of Dallas. Did I say that last week? I probably did. You can find me at Sime_on_toast on Instagram. Simon Toy Portraits for the time being. I will not be renewing that URL when that comes time, whenever that is. And that's it, pretty much.
Nice. Won't be renewing that URL. Do you know when that's up?
Yeah, I don't know. Probably October. I don't remember.
Wednesday Pool, everywhere else. Check it out. And you can probably see a bunch of Simon stuff posted on our stuff too. So check us out. Let us know what you think. Subscribe to the podcast. Leave a review. Do all that nice stuff. You know what you're supposed to do to help us out. But we're circling the drain, and we'll see you guys next time.
Bye.